House Committee on Government Efficiency together to order.
You're not very efficient so far.
Let's see, Thursday, March 1st. Don't Thank forget you. To reset your watch calendars that today is March 1st. We will open a public hearing on House Bill 2656, and Representative Cruz, or yeah, well, Representative Cruz is getting done tonight. You want to give us a little lowdown on it, please?
House Bill 2656, members of the committee, does not have a subsequent referral and requires state agencies to report to legislative committees when the agency changes any legislatively approved positions or budgets.
Okay, Representative Cruz.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I'll be brief because I have to get back to committee. For the record, I am State Representative Jeff Cruz, District 45. This kind of where this bill came from, conversations we were having last session, and as we have, as I have observed over time, what we will do is we will, in our budget, we will authorize positions in agencies, and oftentimes those positions will not be filled, and the agencies see fit to take some of that money and use it for other purposes, and plus we have also seen that we can put people in agencies for specific purposes and then see them being used for other things. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that that is all bad in and of itself, but it seems to me that if we go through our deliberative process here and we authorize specific things for specific purposes, that we should have a reasonable expectation that that is what is going to happen. And if there is compelling reason for other things to happen, that we should be informed about it on the front end of it. And that's basically what this does, is say that if an agency is going to redirect money that we specifically put in for program or FTE, that they need to inform us that they're going to do it. You'd be interested in knowing, for example, Department of Human Services, we fund a lot of positions there, 11,000 plus employees. They have currently 800 positions that are not filled. Well, we gave them the money for those positions. What happened to the money? We don't know. Should we have the right to have that sort of knowledge? And basically what this bill is designed to do is have the folks report to us on things that they are doing that are outside of the scope or in a different direction from what we directed them to do. This is not an accusation of anybody. This is just a measure of accountability to say if you, state agency, find a reason or a need to do something different than what we directed you to do in legislation or in budget, that you should report back to the legislature and give compelling reasons for making that change. That's it. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any questions for Representative Cruz? Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeff, are you talking about the fungible dollars in terms of when they start moving dollars between service and supply, or they come to us and they say, we need to hire this program staff, we need these, increase in FTE so that we can go and accomplish something, and then when we leave town, the dollars, I guess I could use the example of the state police, and we need 100 troopers, and by the time that we're done, we've paid for forest fire. And not to debate merits of making that choice, it's just the reality that we're sold on funding specific programs with an expectation of certain results you're going to hear, and then we come back, we seem each time we return, we're deciding the same thing over again. We're having the same policy debates in terms of funding different programs because we never seem to actually accomplish the programs. Is this what your intention on this is?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hill, it is, and State Police is a very good example because we have funded additional troopers the last two sessions that we have been here, and it's never happened. And you know, for some compelling reasons in some cases, should we have diverted funds to fight forest fires? Yeah, we need to do that, but we need to have discussions about these things. Now, theoretically, the E-Board can dig into these things, but the E-Board, by its very structure, doesn't get very deep into anything because it's a small group of folks that meet quarterly and they have the whole world on their plate. What we need is for substantive committees, interim committees, to be involved, and what we need is statute that compels the agency to come forward with what they're doing rather than us to have to do investigative work into what can be a pretty complicated system. So, like I said, this is not an accusation, and this is not saying on the front end that bad things are happening, but what it's saying is, we leave this building, we have put in place a game plan. We have put in place funding for specific programs, for personnel. We have done it in as deliberative and logical a way as we possibly can. And for agencies, as soon as we're out of the bill, and this will happen, that we'll get reports from agencies saying, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. But to a large degree, the bureaucracy basically holds its breath for the time we're in the building, and as soon as we leave, they figure they can go back to business as usual. I mean, that is, and it doesn't matter which party's in charge or anything. The bureaucracy is a bureaucracy, and somehow we have to gain some control over that. And so I think compelling them to come to us with any changes they are making is good oversight and the sort of thing that we as the elected officials should be able to do.
Okay. Representative March, and then...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Cruz, I think it's laudable that we, that the legislature be able to look at decisions that are made contrary to the intent of our budgeting. I think on a practical matter, and maybe you've invited somebody from DAS or something like that to come and talk about how they handle modifications. I mean, we're doing a 2-year projection out on what we want done, and within fairly set parameters. But I mean, we know that there's already probably a 10% turnover in staff in any given year. Mm-hmm. Varies by department. So I think having a certain number of people out of unfilled positions it would be impractical for them to report that. Well, we have 12 vacancies this week, and then so maybe we are looking for some sort of a threshold at which if they are spending X amount less in personnel, that you'd get an automatic report back. Maybe would that seem to attack the problem? I mean, it's not just necessarily the number of personnel, but that they're not doing the job at all, maybe, and that sort of thing.
Mr. Chair, Representative March, actually, there's another bill somewhere in the process, and I'm not sure whose it is, that would say that if a position, an authorized position, was not filled within 6 months of the date it was supposed to be, that money would revert. But this really doesn't speak to that. This speaks to changes, absolute changes. It's not an unfilled position. It's taking that position, the money for that position, diverting it someplace else or a different position. So the fact that, we've with a full understanding that in the 18 months we're not here, things change and adjustments need to be made. And this isn't prohibiting that. This is just asking for a reporting of that. But there's nothing in here that would say that if you have a vacancy, you got to come and tell us about it, because that's, as long as the money's there and their intent is to is to fill that position, and it is in the direction that we sent, then that's fine. It's when they decide we've got this money over here and we're going to do this with it rather than the direction it was going. So it's kind of, you know, it's not directed at your concern that they have to report every job that, mm-hmm. that isn't filled. It's when they are making policy changes that are different from what the
programmatic right. changes. Yeah.
Okay. Representative Girard?
Representative Cruz, I just would like to thank you for bringing this bill, because I believe this is one of the top issues on the minds of the people of this state, and I think this takes us in the direction that the people want us to go. So I thank you for this bill.
Well, thank you very much, Representative. We, you know, there's, you know, I think one of the problems that the people have with government is levels of accountability, and this certainly gets us to a level of accountability. You know, it to be put in a position, for example, with the state police to defend why we don't have more troopers on the road. You know, the fact that we authorized the funds and directed it to happen and it didn't, we're kind of stuck here. You know, we didn't know until the last minute that trooper school in January was going to be canceled. We didn't know that. You know, we thought up until that time it was going to happen and we were going to be putting more troopers on the road. So, you know, when those decisions are made, we should be fully informed of them. And that's basically all this does.
Any other questions for Representative Beck?
So I guess I'm trying to get a sense of whether this is it that specific incident? I mean, often one specific incident inspires a bill. I think we're all responsive in that way. Are there other? I'm just trying to sense who should we, if we're going to move forward with this bill, I'd like to hear from some of the agencies and have a little not inquisition, not interrogation, but give them a chance to really explain how these things work, what kinds of changes are made. If this is the only, this is an isolated incident, I think we should look at that. But if are there other specific examples of agencies changing programs midstream that you're aware of that this bill would address, and should we bring those agencies in here to explain the proper context of those decisions?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beck, there was nothing specific in this. This was actually a concept I developed during the 99 session, and I use state police as an example because it's there and it's very apparent. And there was no intent here in this to point a finger at any agency specifically, but I think we all know, if we've been around here long enough, that there are a lot of fungible dollars in the system, and there are a lot of positions that go unfilled, and the dollars are diverted to other things. And like I say, this is not saying that there isn't merit in an agency doing that. But if they're going to do that, we ought to be informed of it. Because we did something for a purpose. And if that purpose is diverted, then we should be informed. I mean, we're supposed to be the decision-making body here. For us to allow unelected folks in the agencies to be making decisions that are contrary to what the elected body did, I think needs to be explained.
Follow up. I know you and I have gently joked sometimes, I think it was you and I, this on a bill, this committee perhaps, about solutions in search of a problem.
Right.
And so I think you're sensitive to that. So I guess I would raise that issue that, you say you're sure that the positions are unfilled, money is getting shifted somewhere else. Well, I'd like to know where that's happening. I think we should all, if that is happening in agencies, yeah, we ought to know where that's happening, with specific examples, that are of a clearly objectionable. I'd sure like to know about it. So I guess I would encourage you to you know, find out where this is really happening, other than just agencies or positions getting unfilled and the money. Oh, enough about budgeting to know what happens to unfilled positions over the course of a biennium, but whether that money is getting shifted to a totally different program, I have no, I don't see evidence of that here today.
This is about.
Yeah, I know it's what it's about, but it's where do you, I mean where are the examples of it? I mean, I need concrete examples that the Human Resources Department didn't fill 800 positions and they took the money from that to fund some, you know, drug rehab program somewhere. That's all. I'm not objecting to the bill necessarily. I just want to see where these nefarious things are occurring.
Mr. Chair, I'll send it back. I, you know, if you've been around here long enough, you hear anecdotal things, and it was never my intention to put any specific entity on a hot seat here, necessarily. If you know, with this, if they are following legislative intent and doing the things that they said they were going to do, there's no reporting that happens here at all. You know, I would be reluctant to try to develop a bad actors list here. It's not my intention to do that. I don't want to put a negative spin on this. I'd rather have a positive spin that we as a legislative body are just wanting a higher level of accountability.
Yeah. Representative Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, to answer to Representative Beck, you know, I co-chaired the JLIMTC committee in the interim, and, you know, unfortunately, I can't remember the specific agency, but I'll be more than happy to go get the specific agency's name and the program. But they showed up and wanted approval to launch a $10 million IT project that they hadn't bothered to budget for or discuss in the legislative process. And they found $10 million in their budget to fund this development project in the interim. And so this happens all the time. And so, you know, and I remember at the time sort of going, wait a minute, you know, because the big debate, you know, was where would we find $10 million so we could fund senior transportation services,
right.
And here suddenly you're able to cough up $10 million and not have an impact on your budget or in the programs that we're, you know, that you've just sort of found. DAS coughs up money all the time to start initiatives. They went off and wanted to come and get limitation expansion to buy some hardware, and they weren't going to get that approval from our committee, and so they were miraculously capable of finding the $1.5 million in their budget, so they didn't have to come to get limitation expenditure, so they could go off and get that, start that program. We had the episode which the e-board was not very pleased with in DA, in Department of Human Services. I can't remember the specific thing where it was they took money from a specific program, the legislature said you're going to go do it, moved it, and spent it in a different place, and the agency head would just, you know, thought, well, I have that authority to do that, and didn't bother to come and tell anybody that that's what she had done. And so now I believe that person is no longer working in the state.
No.
So, this happens all the time, and you use terms like nefarious and objectionable. I don't think in terms of the process is nefarious or objectionable. The issue here is oversight and the fact that we have expectations, you know, that, okay, you come and you've testified, this is how your program is going to operate, you're going to do certain things, and unless you're sitting on one of these oversight committees in the interim, you have absolutely no idea what happens. In terms, a program that you've put forward and you think is occurring, you know, and they're telling you all these nice, wonderful things. You come out that later and find out they took all the FTE positions and the money and they went and spent it someplace else and it was never accomplished. And you're kind of like going, well, wait a minute, you know, you said yes. You came and you said you're going to go do this. We approved it. So from a perspective, I mean, this doesn't say we stop them. It doesn't say you come before. It just says, come and tell us what you're doing. You know, and I think in terms of the issue of shifting FTE is something that, as legislators, we need to be very concerned about, because, you know, and this is my, this time, my first time on a Ways and Means Committee, and I'm amazed that agencies have no plans. They cannot come forward, and it's like pulling teeth to, when you say, you know, hey, all this money you're spending on this IT project, you must have a plan that someone has developed sitting somewhere that adds up to the sum total you have in the budget. And the answer is they don't. This is just a case of current service level, add the percentage, and they spend to that amount. And we've had some agencies that have come through my committee that they've literally the day before, because they've found out that we request you have a plan or your budget goes to a dollar, and you can, when you come back with the plan, you can come back and ask for the money. And they gin together plans. And it's obvious that, you know, they have not really done any planning. But there are agencies who do plan and do very good planning, but there are other agencies who do atrocious planning. And I think it's something that we should be concerned about. And this bill and this type of reporting is something that helps us understand and do better oversight on it. And I don't think it stops any of the practice and doesn't stop any of the decisions that occur. It just says, let us know when you make those decisions.
Mr. Chair, just a response to that, and it is true. I mean, I had to be very careful here that we weren't overstepping the executive branch in this, because obviously there are authorities there, and I'm very mindful of that. But you know, this thing first kind of started generating in my mind in '97 when I did sit on a Ways and Means subcommittee. And we'd have agencies come in, and they would talk about, in general terms, what they were going to do with general fund dollars, but they wouldn't even bother to mention other fund or federal fund dollars. And from my perspective, all this money comes from somebody's back pocket. And so we started rejecting budgets until they came in with the whole package of number one, where do these other fund dollars come from? Number two, how are you accounting for the federal funds and all that? So we've been kind of moving over time to a better level of accountability of how state government runs. And I think this is another step in that direction for the legislative body to really have a full understanding and true oversight of state government.
Any other questions, Representative March?
Yeah, and maybe this is a question of our administrator. I like the concept. It's the practicality of it that when I look at something that says any changes in positions. So if we have authorized 4 clerk typists and they change and 4 secretary ones, and they change one secretary one to become a clerk typist, you know, so they have 3 secretary ones and 5 clerk typists. Is that the kind of change you're talking about? Is that, because that's any change to me.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Marge, I think what this speaks to, I think what this will do is require a higher level of planning by the state agencies because of those sorts of questions. I mean, the reality is, if an agency has a program and they are asking us for taxpayer dollars to run this thing, they ought to have a plan, okay? And they ought to have, you know, I run a business, you know, we don't do nebulous things, say, well, you know, this amount of money over here for whatever, because if we do stuff like that, then all of a sudden our bottom line's red and we're out of business. We have to really account for what we're doing, and you know, we've been trying to move towards a business model for the running of state government, and I think more than anything this would require the agencies on the front end of the process to make sure that they come in and know what they're talking about when they make a presentation. Now, having said that, if they need to make changes, that's fine. But you know, what we find oftentimes is they start making changes the minute we leave the building. Okay. So, you know, my question to them is, I mean, you know, we sign EDI in July and they're changing things in September. So you're going to tell me they didn't know in May they were going to be doing this? In some cases, no, because in some cases there'll be federal regulations or whatever changes and they have to adapt. And that's not a problem. But if there are federal changes and they're having to adapt, we should know that also. So we have some continuity through the process so that when we come back next time, we have history of where they're going and how they got there.
Representative Tomei?
Yes. I'm certainly in support of the concept. I'm wondering, have the agencies been notified about this, the people who will be affected by this, so that we could get some response from them?
Ms. Chair, Representative Tomei, the agencies, I haven't specifically notified them, but trust me, the agencies are aware of all the bills that are in the building.
I'm confident they're watching and listening right now.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, you can wave to them on camera. Representative Smith?
I just have a real simple question. It says a state agency shall report. It doesn't say how often or when. So what would be the scenario for how often they would report?
What would happen there is if they make the changes and they report to the appropriate committee, it would be when the committee meets.
Okay. Thank you. Great bill. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? I only have one comment for your representative, and that is the other bill that you alluded to. With regards to the positions, the FTE
in
6 months, that's the chairs.
Okay.
Yes, and that's an issue that I think we can take up later. And to a certain degree, will work similarly or can work with this type of a bill. The other thing, when we're looking at the state police situation, I know you only use that as an example, and you're not trying to point any fingers, and I appreciate that. But somewhat in their defense is that we knew that some of those positions weren't going to be filled until later in the biennium, and we were aware of a potential roll up. The thing that was real disturbing to me is that once the governor's recommended budget came out in December, then they decided, well, we don't want to be giving out pink slips in July after we've hired them in January, so we'll just hold it off. But then the question still remains, where did the dollars go? And I should have been showing as, I would have anticipated showing as an ending balance within their accounts. So anyway, with that said, thank you, Representative. Appreciate you bringing this forward.
Go back to the committee now.
Yes, you can go back. You're excused to go back to the committee. Did you want to say anything, or were you prepared to testify? You're from DAS, aren't you?
I would.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and come forward? Because we didn't have anybody else signed up to testify on the bill. And
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Darren Hill, and I work in Budget Management Division for Department of Administrative Services.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Representative Hill, you were kind of waving your hand, and did you have questions?
No, I was just pointing that I know we had DAS sitting back.
Oh, okay.
suggesting that, yes. You know.
Okay, Representative Tomei, you did have questions.
Thank you very much. Thanks for letting me come up on the hot seat here.
Sure.
Having been the mayor of a fairly small city and working with budget processes and committees, et cetera, one of my concerns is, does this appear to be micromanaging?
Mr. Chair, Representative Tomei, thank you for not putting me on the hot seat.
You're welcome.
Yeah. At this point, it's not for us to judge whether that's micromanaging or not. I'd be more than happy to answer how the process works now, because I have full understanding of that. Whether it's micromanaging or not, I mean, we're not really prepared to say at this point. There's too many unanswered questions, I think.
Right. Okay. Well, tell us then how the process works.
Okay. I'd be glad to. Of course, all the budget bills go through Ways and Means, and they are written to a specific level. There is most agencies have it written basically just to the fund type. And that is the level that we have an allotment system, that agencies on a quarterly basis have an allotment plan. And the budget analysts review those on a quarterly basis to see that people are meeting their plans, not overspending, so to speak. And the system itself will not allow them to spend more than they have allotted for that specific time period. Certain agencies have had their budget bills written down to lower levels, and those levels then we keep their budget plan, as you if you will, down to that level, and they have to spend within those means. The budgets are reviewed at varying levels, and some of the allotment plans actually have it broken down to categories, such as personal services, S&S, capital outlay, special payments, so on. Some agencies are reviewed at that level, but basically we only hold them accountable to the level of the budget bill itself.
Okay, thank you.
Representative March?
Yeah, thank you. Let's follow up on that a little bit. You say down to a lower level, and to a lower level you would mean perhaps personnel services, contracted services, M&S. Would that be like the next level down from fund type? Means your agency has $10 million to spend. You spend that divided out over, you know, 8 quarters.
Mr. Chair, Representative March, yes, exactly. The categories that we have, general fund would be like, say, your fund type or other funds or federal funds, and that's usually the level the bills are written to. The next level down we call budget classifications, and that would be personal services, services and supplies, capital outlay, so on.
Okay. Then is there another level that some budgets are written to by the legislature?
Mr. Chairman, Representative March, no. In fact, I am not sure of any budget bills that are written down to the budget classification level. There may be one or two, but very few.
So currently, while the budget detail we may look at has FTE in it, we don't spell out how that FTE is spread out in the budget bill that we pass.
Mr. Chairman, Representative March, that's true.
So then we may not, this may not get, the bill that we're considering today may not get to the information we want to have. We would have to require the Budget Committee, the Ways and Means Committee, to write a more specific budget for us to know that they were doing differently than what we budgeted.
Mr. Chair, Representative March, yes, that's true. The budget system itself does, and the documents that are presented to the Ways and Means Committee, does show the FTE and the positions and where they are to be, how they are budgeted within specific programs. But the budget bill itself does not usually specifically talk to FTE and which programs those are associated with.
Okay. Representative Hill?
If I might add my rudimentary knowledge of the budget process, is if when you look at the actual printed bill, agencies can move funds into anything without coming back to the legislature in any of those fund sorts. So at the gross level, if there is a second line on the bill and different funds or different programs on the bill, it's detailed out in the actual bill, they must come back to E-Board to move funds between those programs. So some agencies, I believe the Department of Agriculture, has been written down to a program level, which is a way the legislature can say, making sure that funds can only be spent in specific programs, but most budgets are done at the gross level. But we have all the budget detail, and the Ways and Means just goes through and looks at all the budget details. So there's an expectation, and there's testimony as to what is going to be occurred, And I think this is what Representative Cruz is talking about, so that we don't have to sit there and start writing budgets down to a program level, which we could, we choose not to, is if there's going to be a change, come back and tell us what the change is and keep us up to date. This does not say that they can't continue the practice of moving and managing the fungibility of the fund. It's coming and telling us after the fact what you've done, which would allow the legislature to say, gee, we understand the choices you've made there, and why, because that's the executive function, but it also gives the opportunity for the legislature to come in and say, we don't really think that's a good idea, and usually most agencies will listen to us when we suggest it's really not a great idea. So,
are you done? Representative Bruce?
Yeah, just to follow up on that, thank you, Mr. Chair. We would be wrong to ask DAS to micromanage every budget in state government. I think your staff would have to grow considerably to do that. Their purpose is to make sure they don't spend money they don't have, more than anything, and to make sure that it is going in these program areas. I mean, that's their job and that's their oversight, and I think that's the appropriate level for that. What this is doing is putting the onus on the agency that if they do make a change, that they have to report it. So we don't have to have a whole nother bureaucracy set up to dig into these folks all the time. And the fact is that when the budget is presented, it is presented with the expectation of it's going to take, we need this much money for program, we need this much money for FTE, and the detail is there when they present the budget. It's just not how it's handled after that. We leave that to the agency to deal with the detail. We kind of do oversight stuff. So this is an accountability measure, and it's without creating a whole lot more oversight that I don't think we really want. I don't want to create DAS into something that gets to the level that we're asking for here. We make this the agency responsibility for reporting.
Representative March.
Oh, thank you. I believe in accountability. I mean, that's I used to be an auditor, you know, and if there's anybody who believes in accountability, I just want to make sure we get there in the right manner, you know. Mm-hmm. And the question that I have now is, currently you have the detail budget that, let's say, falls in this legislative approved budget, you know. So we have a budget on one hand, the bill we pass is one, but really we're saying the legislatively approved budget is the detail that the committee looked at, not the committee, I mean, not the detail, but, well, anyhow, let me finish the question. When you walk away from here, you have a budget bill, you have a gross amount, you also are walking away with detail that the committee has gone through, looked at, approved generally, but not gone through the legislative with a bill, all right? Do you currently get from departments changes that they make? For example, if a department says we are shifting FTE from one point to another point, do they report that to DAS?
Mr. Chairman, Representative March, It would depend probably on magnitude, but there is not a every single time something gets shifted, DAS is not notified of that, no. If there are major program shifts and things like that, those are usually disclosed budget.
Ms. Cherka, that maybe help with the question. I mean, we have decision packages, and which is what you look at. So if there are shifts within that decision package, that doesn't necessarily rise to the level. It's if they are wanting to move out of one decision package into another that it would rise to your level. Would that be fairly accurate?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cruz, it would depend on the situation. I believe that, you know, depending on whether it's something that's been around for a while, if it's a new program, those kinds of things, the budget analysts are always in contact with their agencies.
Okay. Are there any other questions for
I don't know if that helped or not.
For Representative, for Mr. Hill? Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to speak on House Bill 2656? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2656. Committee, I'm going to go ahead and open a work session on House Bill 2656. And
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cruz, yes.
I would move House Bill 2656 to the floor with a DPAS recommendation.
Okay, Representative Cruz moves House Bill 2656 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we're all on the same page here to a certain extent. We're trying to get some accountability in from the administration on how they address how the budget has been presented to, you know, to the legislature and approved by the legislature. And, for example, the decision packages, I think we want to, if we're passing this measure, we want to make sure that DAS gets the understanding that any changes in budget between decision packages that sort of go against or different, not against, let's say different than, has been approved, those are the kinds of changes we're looking to have reporting on, not the average day-to-day, we bought 12 pencils less than what we originally planned for the year. So we don't want to get bogged down in detail, and I know how if I was a vindictive bureaucrat, I would do nothing but snow you in pages and pages of how detail. But we're looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So with that, that's, you know, my comment I wanted to get on record. What we're looking for, and I think sounded like the carrier is looking for, or the sponsor.
Okay, thank you. Other discussion?
Excuse me.
I have a question.
Yes, Representative Bruce. Kafori, I mean.
Thank you. Ask a question, Representative March. Do you think that is reflected, what your comment is reflected in this bill, or that this bill, by saying any changes in positions, is too broad and will cover the exact type of minutia that you've discussed?
Well, that was my fear of any. The definition of any changes is... It's certainly in the eye of the beholder. I mean, if you wanted to play a game on the legislature, I mean, you could do a number by dumping a lot of stuff on us. And that's why I want it clear in the record that we're talking about what the sponsor is talking about, changes in decision packages. And I don't know if there's a better way of describing that. And if there was, it might be worth pursuing. But I'll leave that to the sponsor to consider.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Cruz.
We didn't use this language arbitrarily, and I think that the discussion we've had today certainly points to legislative intent. As to what we're after. We're not after how many pencils they bought, that sort of thing. And we'll be to an agency that tried to snow a substantive committee in the interim on that sort of thing, because I think it would be a major backfire, and most of them know that. But the use of any, I think, is appropriate here, because we don't know what's in the future. So we chose that language specifically because it's flexible. We didn't want to be tied down to any specific, only this sort of change sort of thing, you know, because it varies so much agency to agency and time frame to time frame.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Beck.
Done.
I have another comment, but I need to put it in my head, think it through, so why don't you...
Would you like me to come back to you?
Yeah, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, I can do that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative.
I just I haven't taken a hard look at this bill, but I guess before I could support it, I'd want to hear from more agencies and governors and office and get a better sense of what this is really going to mean in practice. I think a lot of times we
good ideas have unintended consequences. And one risk I feel from this is it's sort of the ironic, kind of like with term limits. A lot of people got in a fervor over passing term limits for whatever reasons, and a lot of those people are going, gee, why did we do that? And I worry that something like this will have an unintended consequence of actually creating more government and making it harder for public services to be provided, creating more red tape, more reports that have to be written over, you know, things that maybe we don't intend for people to come to us for, but that the law compels agencies to spend extra time, extra money, extra staff meetings to draft the memos, to reread the memos, to come to the legislature. Which committee? Oh, is it the budget committee or is it the substantive committee? Oh, gee, we need to shift these three positions. I think there's a potential, given the breadth of this, the way this measure is written, to create more bureaucracy and more government. And I might be willing to support this with a, you know, a little more thorough vetting, but today I'm going to have to reluctantly vote no.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Kathori.
I knew if I allowed Representative Beck to speak before me that he would more eloquently describe my thoughts than I could. I'm in complete agreement. I think that definitely if I were on a Ways and Means Committee and I had approved a budget and then I found out later that the money was spent differently than was anticipated by the committee and approved by the committee, I can understand that frustration. I think that may be what this bill is trying to address. But as I've not served on a Ways and Means Committee, I don't know. And that also affects, I think I would need, in order to feel comfortable voting yes on this, some more anecdotal stories of what happens, because I have no idea. And I don't know that, but and I don't even know that one or two anecdotal is going to help. I think having a more thorough discussion with the reality of what happens, not just from DAS's perspective, but from an agency perspective, would be helpful for me. So as I appreciate this concept and agree with the concept, I can't vote yes on this because I don't have, I mean, one testimony from a reluctant government employee doesn't quite allow me the confidence to cast an aye vote on this.
Ms. Chair,
Representative Cruz.
You know, we could call a lot of agencies in here, and I would be amazed if any of them supported this. I would be truly amazed, because this is more accountability, and they would probably say they have enough. But like Representative Hill, who did give several examples, and if we wanted time, we could give a whole laundry basket of examples. But so to bring an agency in here and say, is this a good idea? They're going to say, no, we already do this. Well, they don't. And I'm not saying all agencies don't, but certainly a significant number don't. So I'm not sure that we benefit by having folks that are going to be against this come in and snow us. So.
Oh, yeah. We shouldn't want anybody who's against the bill
to this. Okay, Representative March?
I think who I'd like to hear from two people, or two representatives, and one is counsel to let us clarify what the wording means, and the other is our own legislative budget office, and have them clarify to us what it means to them, because there are budget specialists. And I would like to, I would ask the sponsor if he could maybe withdraw his motion so we could talk to those people, get a better sense of what any means to them, because there are specialists. And I'm not so much worried about the bureaucracy. I mean, I know it's, I want to make sure that we're doing the right thing by our own folks and we're getting to what we need.
Mr. Chair, I would be more than willing to withdraw the motion so we can hear from LC and LFO on this. That would be fine. If it's for the comfort of the committee, I think that would work good for me.
Okay.
Or if we just want to go ahead and vote on it, I guess.
excuse me, Representative. okay, I kind of developed a little list here, so and you're on it. You want to withdraw?
Sure.
Worth, did you still want
to? I would, but I'm ready to vote in opposition to this bill. It sounds like this is a much bigger problem, and that would probably require a complete review of the budgetary process.
Well, there's bills for that too.
It's a professional legislature.
Just
like
you, Representative, I'll get to
all
you.
Time.
Representative Gerard.
I may just be showing my nativity as a freshman legislator, but I have 35 years in business, and I can't believe the conversation that I'm hearing. I cannot believe that people have a problem with calling your employees in and asking them if it's okay that we hold them accountable. This is unbelievable. This is exactly what the people in my district elected me to come here and do. And I'm in favor of a vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. I think I'm first in
the line. I want to respond to that.
Representative Kefouri.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With all due respect to my colleagues, Representative Cruz and Representative Garrett, I am not asking to invite the agencies in to ask them if they approve of this legislation. However, A, not being in the business for 35 years, and B, not sitting on Ways and Means Committee, I am not as well versed in how budgets work in this government, in government, maybe as some of you, and I'm asking to have explanations, not is it okay with you. We've passed many bills this session, and we'll continue to pass it. People from agencies don't approve of or don't necessarily want. But I need to have some understanding before I can vote yes on this of what we're exactly talking about. You know, a half an hour discussion in committee before we vote on a bill that has potential major effects on our state government is not, in my mind, being responsible government officials. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Representative Vett?
Well, I wanted to respond to my colleague from Klamath Falls. It's you're not naive. I think I don't any more than the rest of us on all kinds of things. But I think the issue that I think we're raising today is a process issue in this legislative process. Some of what Representative Corey said, I think the bill is written broadly. I think there are legitimate concerns about how what the bill is asking for would actually work. I'm concerned about out of a 12 billion dollar general fund part of our state budget, how much micromanaging we want to do after the legislative session. We have a thorough budget process, and we pass these budgets. We do the best we can. We're not a full-time legislature. I don't think anybody here wants us to become a professional full-time legislature. And we do make the decisions, we have hearings, we do the best we can. You let these agencies go out, do the best we can. We audit them. They have to come back the next session. There is a process to do of oversight. It's not perfect. I just want to make sure that this doesn't create a situation where we get to the point where we're micromanaging agencies and start nitpicking about things that bog down their whole discretionary process. Of course, in a small business, when you're always involved with it, you're looking at changes in strategic direction and someone has to be held accountable. When you're dealing with agencies with hundreds, thousands of employees, I think, yes, we need some ongoing oversight. I don't know where to draw that line. I'd like to hear from the co-chairs about this. I wouldn't mind hearing from the governor's office to see what they think of this kind of bill. I don't think any of us want to be sending bills out that are going to be summarily vetoed, which could be worked on in a committee process, defined and honed. That's our job, is to make good ideas work, not just send a bill out without appropriate amendments. Almost, very few bills pass a committee without some rigorous discussion. And this is a good idea. It merits deliberation. And one of my concerns about some of the committee process is that we don't deliberate enough. And we're going to have a bill like this, a good idea. There ought to be five people here with different perspectives telling us, informing us.
And that's
so. If
we have to have fun.
I mean, this is a long, this is more of a colloquy or a soliloquy. I'm not sure what, but that's all. I think those of us who are registering concerns are wanting this to be appropriately processed, so the process that it's creating after us is one that we can all live with and feel good about.
Representative Tomei, and then.
Thank you. I'm certainly in support of the spirit of the bill, and I think it needs to be done. And as I've been sitting here listening to the discussion, I'm trying to figure out what my concerns are. And I underlined any changes. And I'm thinking back to city government when there were certain parameters about what changes happened in city government after we passed the budget, what would come back to us, at what limit, what were the parameters. And so there was certainly, you know, if there's a budget change over a certain amount, I mean, because when you say any changes, that can be interpreted so broadly. I guess I'd rather see some kind of amendment that would give us some more direction or guidance what the parameters would be for these changes. But I'm in support of the spirit of the bill.
Reverend Rhodes?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to thank my fellow colleagues for explaining their positions.
Okay, good. Any other comments? I like the bill. I think that there's some good things in it. I appreciate Representative March's suggestion of inviting testimony with Legislative Council and LFO, because I think that having an idea of how they would interpret it is really going to be important. I also think that in a lot of respects, I'm looking at this sort of a little differently. I think that the agencies can look at it and actually sort of breathe a sigh of relief. And the reason why is because they know, you know, the legislative intent here is not to beat up the agencies, but the legislative intent here is to just make sure that there's oversight, so that when they make if it's a major shift in their policy or a major shift in what they're doing, that they've sort of gotten the blessing from somebody, a substantive committee or e-board or somewhere along the line, they've sort of gotten that blessing. Because what we don't want to have happen is a situation like what we heard on Tuesday, where we've got agencies that they're not state agencies, but they're agencies nonetheless, thought they were doing something that was really good, and they are. But bottom line is they didn't have legislative authority to do it. Now, and it wasn't anything that was malicious on their part. They weren't trying to, you know, subvert the law or subvert us as a legislature. They thought they were doing good work. They wanted to try to and then they realized that they needed authority. So basically, what we were doing was saying, okay, we're going to give you authority to do what you're already doing, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. And so I think that, because the other thing is we want to encourage our agencies to be able to always look for better ways of doing things. I don't view this as being a micromanaging kind of a bill, but just rather keeping us informed, keeping us in the loop, because the other side of it is when we get calls from constituents and they're railing on us about some major thing that they read in the newspaper or heard from their neighbor or whatever the case may be, we have the information to be able to respond to them and say, yes, that's, let me give you the whole story, because we have that information. So anyway, Representative Cruz, you had suggested that you would withdraw your motion.
I did withdraw.
And so the motion has been withdrawn. I will ask our committee administrator to please get a hold of Legislative Council and LFO, Legislative Fiscal, and ask them to come in and give us a I would also invite DAS, Mr. Hill, if you'd like to put together some testimonies to and that sort of thing, then and then what we'll do is we'll Matt, why don't you work with them as far as dates? We may not bring this back right away on Tuesday. It may be might be Thursday, could be the following week, but we'll try to get this addressed fairly soon. Okay. Great, thank you. With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2656. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 372. Matt, would you like to give us a little info about that?
Chairman? Members of the committee, Senate Bill 372 has no subsequent referral and extends the term of members of the Employee Suggestion Awards Commission from 1 year to 3 years.
Okay, this is, now the room's not packed yet, but I expect a crowd any time. But while we're waiting for the crowd, Ms. Shepherd, would you like to come up and give us your spin on this?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Kathy Shepherd. I'm the statewide coordinator for the Employee Suggestion Awards Program with the Department of Administrative Services. This program exists to recognize and reward state employees for their innovative ideas, encourage more ideas, and to capture and share those ideas. I'm here today in support of Senate Bill 372, which, as you've heard, would increase the term of office for our commission members from 1 to 3 years. This is a very simple bill with really no fiscal impact. The current term length of 1 year is barely enough time for our new members to learn how the program functions. Commission members are typically reappointed to serve for several years, and processing these appointments on an annual basis creates an excessive amount of paperwork. So this bill would simply more accurately reflect the typical term of office served, would make our commission's term of office more consistent with other boards and commissions, and reduce the burden of these annual appointments. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for your time and consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Are there any questions for Ms. Shepherd? Representative March.
I'd like to throw a softball out. How well's the program been working, and what kind of successes have you had?
Mr. Chair, Representative March, this program has actually been around since 1980, so just over 20 years, and continues to function very well. We received, to date, almost 13,000 suggestions in that time. Our verified savings are, we have them right now at $15.7 million. So,
well, that's the right answer from the Government Efficiency Committee.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Any other questions for Ms. Shepherd? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any other, is there anyone else that wishes to speak on Senate Bill 372? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 372. I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 372. Representative Mark?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 372 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative March moves Senate Bill 372 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, it is, are there any objections? Do we have a quorum? Yeah, we do. Okay, there's no objections. So ordered, it's going to the floor. I would like for this to not go on the consent agenda, and the reason why is because I will bet that most members don't know what this committee does, and I would like to use the floor as an opportunity to give a brief presentation to the body so that they have a better understanding of what this committee does. Representative Tomei, would you like to carry the bill?
I would be delighted to carry it.
Great. Representative Tomei will carry the bill. Okay. And with that, I will close.
Chair, I have a question.
Yes. Yes.
Just process. When you do a vote on a bill when people aren't here, how are they recorded?
I'm recording them excused.
Okay. I just was curious when I'm out of the room how I'm being recorded on bills.
Well, in your case, it's AWOL.
Surely.
Okay, with that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 372. And Representative Tomei, you might want to get together with Ms. Shepherd, but whatever you want to do on that. And there being nothing else, we stand adjourned.